Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 171 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Friday, May 2nd, 2014. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and I'm here to talk about the board games, you know? Okay, I don't know what any of that crap was, but I am here to talk about board games because, as with every week, Thursday is when the game night I attend happens, and this past Thursday, yesterday, was one of the best game nights in a good long while. It's all because Alex wasn't there, and y'all don't know who Alex is, but he is the most evil, maniacal, devilish Seven Wonders player in the world. He acts like your friend, and you know, he's like, here, I'm gonna help you with this. Hey, let's, why don't you do this? Then, blah, 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 blah. Then in the end, he scores 30 points more than everyone else. And if I'm not next to him, then I can't even try to mess with his strategy. He's the devil. Actually, he's a good guy. But he wasn't there, and the weather wasn't that great. So it seemed like maybe that was the reason why there weren't as many people. But it was a smaller group than usual, as of lately. And fairly quiet, though it got a bit rowdy with some people. Not bad rowdy, good rowdy. And it was just a very enjoyable experience. And I had a lot of fun. Played, for the most part, a lot of familiar games. Started it off with The Downfall of Pompeii, which I haven't played in a while. And I was also realizing that I own quite a few games. And yet, Downfall of Pompeii, which is actually one of my favorite, at least my current favorites, I still don't own a copy of that, and I don't know why. I just never end up pulling the trigger on it or something, or it just never crosses my mind just because I think, oh, well, if I'm going to play this, I'll just play it at game night. So, yeah. But that was fun, but I always feel bad when, like, I don't know. I just wanted one Omen card, and I didn't get to draw any of those, which sucked. And, of course, I get picked on. Because Justin is a punk, and Priscilla is the worst. Jerry's a good guy. I like Jerry. He's nice. Though he's the worst at Bang. But we can get to that later. But yeah, The Downfall of Pompeii is a really great game with, as I've mentioned before, one of the worst setups of any game I've played. At least comparing that setup to the rest of the game, which is a fairly simple game. It's fairly light, I think. Pretty much, you can teach it to anyone, and they could get it really, really fast. It's you know, super simple. You have your first phase, which you just worker placement. You're just placing your little pieces. Second phase, you're doing that, but now if there is, you know, depending on how many little pegs are already in a building, you can then place more. Simple. Third phase, you start laying lava tiles. You work on getting your guys out. That's it. Really simple, but when you have to, you set up the game first, you have to make like 18,000 different piles of like three cards, and then you're putting some cards in these piles and this one's that. Then you take three of them, then you put them on top of this one, and then you mix this card into that, and then you put three more, and then you tap it, and then you shuffle these ones around, and then you hand people these cards, and then it's just a friggin' nightmare of a setup for a game that is really, really simple. I mean, if I was somebody who didn't play any board games and somebody said, hey, let's play this game, it's really simple, and then they just started off setting it up and everything, I'd be like, what the hell, what's going on? I would just be at a loss of, I would immediately become confused and worry about the rest of the game, which is just annoying. And I understand some of the reasons, because, you know, they want to have 80 cards come out within a certain time frame, and then the second one come out at another specific time frame, not at the very exact moment, but I feel like there has to be a simpler way to set up all the cards in a way that is not the way they currently do it, because that is just super annoying. But yeah, that was fun. Then after that, I played a bit of Marvel Dice Masters finally, brought in my copy and some of my cards and dice, and I'm pretty sure, because I had yet to play it yet, and I was still a bit, I felt like I had, for the most part, an understanding of the rules. I watched a video, read the rules, and I felt fairly confident. But also, I only read through like the simple rules, I guess they'd be called, or the basically like the starter rules, your first initial playthrough. And I basically read through all that bit. And then when it gets to the point where it's actually telling you, okay, in your first playthrough, use these exact cards. I just said, I'm not reading anymore because I'm not going to have you tell me exactly what I should do. I'm going to use my own freaking cards. And I got the understanding of what all the rules are. And I think, because we, I was playing with Kenny, and I will always mention names on these podcasts, even though you don't know who I'm talking about at all. And I don't care. But I was playing with Kenny, and I completely lost track after that little sidetrack. Yes, playing it with Kenny, and we were going over the simple rules, but then there were things that are looking over and we're thinking like, well, I remember seeing this in the video, but playing it this way, we wouldn't be able to ever do that. Like playing it where you wipe the board out. I'm pretty sure there are certain rules that we were not going across, that we were not using, and I just want to look into more like the advanced rules and other stuff. And of course, definitely wasn't even considering or thinking about team ups. We were just using two characters each, 20 life points, and it was pretty fun. Even though it was clear that there were some things we were still not 100% clear on. I was trying to think of a different word than clear, so I wouldn't be using it twice so fast. I really liked the game. I think it's fun, and I really do like the theme. I think the theme works well. But I want to talk about the components a bit. One, the dice are nice, but they're not as big as ice. I don't know. The dice are nice, but they are often, at least maybe I'd say about 50% of the time, maybe more, maybe less. They're not, you know, the paint's already chipped away at some places, or it's not fully painted in, so that's a bit annoying, but it's never so problematic that you can't read a die, so it's never like so faded or anything that you can no longer actually see what a side says. Secondly, the actual box that the starter set comes in, which, first I will just say, if you didn't manage to get a starter set, which is very likely, WizKids did, they posted and provided a PDF that includes proxy cards for the basic action cards, which you'll need, and then gives instructions for how you can use D6s as the basic action dice. So that you don't need the starter set to play the game. So you don't have to go out and pay the ridiculous prices on eBay or wherever, which I think it's going for about $50. So don't do that if you really want to play the game. You can still just get the booster packs, and then, you know, you can use those as a temporary solution. The next batch of reprints is scheduled to come out in June. I believe June, July-ish, maybe a little earlier, maybe a little, I'd say June, probably, potentially late May, but I would put my money on June. But back to the starter set, it's really just, and it's not so problematic, but it is just basically this container for everything in there, and then you just throw away. There's no real, like, container for the items you get, so you're going to have to find somewhere else to put all the die and everything. The dice bags that come with it are, I know that people have said that they're not cheap paper, that you can't tear them, it's this other material. I don't care, they look like mini paper bags, and they feel cheap, and I don't like them. I immediately threw them away. Just use regular, go get some regular dice bags somewhere. I ordered some because I should have had some lying around already, but I didn't, which I realized after I threw away those. But and I would also recommend, since you're going to be digging into these dice bags a lot while playing the game, get the like 5x7 size, large ones. And so the dice bags included are really cheap. The dice are not bad. They just happen to have chipping usually on about half of them, which that doesn't bother me so much. But yeah, the booster pack is fine, but it would have been kind of nice. I wouldn't have even cared if, say, they charged $20 for the starter set and included two fairly nice dice bags instead of the really crappy paper, whatever material it's made out of bags. Though they, of course, could have just charged $20 for it and changed nothing because people are paying way more for way more than that for it on eBay and all those other sites. And one last thing about the components. The booster packs, which are $1 each, come with two cards and two dice. Those are, I think they are relatively a good deal. $1 for two cards and two dice, not bad. And it's a very easy and digestible amount of money to spend. It's like you're going through Target, you're shopping, you're at the checkout, and you're like, I'll spend whatever. I'll get three packs, $3. That's nothing. It's coffee, whatever. I don't drink coffee, but I think that's how much coffee costs. Or coffee may even cost more than that. I don't know. But the pricing, I think, is really good. I really like that. What I don't like is that because there are two dice in there and two cards and then no kind of sturdy cardboard in there at all, and they're really jam-packed in the gravity feeds, which hold 60 packs, I believe. I don't think I ever opened a pack where the cards were not warped to some extent. You know, sometimes it's very, very minimal, and sometimes it's like a fucking wave. It's like a, you know, it's like you're looking at, I'm looking at my recording right now, and it's like a wavelength of audio or something. They can be extremely warped. Thankfully, they're never bent, so, you know, you can, with just a little work, and then you can put something heavy on, like a good stack of them. You can get out that, or you can, like, just iron out that warping so that it's not, I wouldn't say you can make it so that it's perfectly straight, but you can make it so that it's fairly close to just being, you know, regular straight. So it's not, it's just an annoyance and something I just wish wasn't the case, but it's not like so damaging that, you know, it's not something that's irreversible. You can still even out the cards, even if they're extremely warped. Back to the game. Now I'm trying to remember where the hell I was with the game. But played three games. We did two characters each. I'm not sure what they're tournament rules, then they're like more advanced rules. I know there are team ups and stuff like that. I'll get into that as I get to it myself, but I liked the game. I thought it was fun. I liked dice. I like rolling dice. It did seem like, and this could be offset by using different strategies that we weren't, or maybe by we could have been missing a rule or two, but it seemed like some of the characters were a bit overpowered. For instance, I had Wolverine. Don't remember the subtitle, but it's his rare card, which grants him, if attacking alone, +5 attack and defense. And that's a lot if the other person has nobody blocking, nobody who capable of blocking. So that could have just been, it could just be that it's a very powerful card, and if you know you're playing somebody with that, you're going to need to keep some dice in the field for defense. That could just be the case, because I got two hits with that. Was eventually, like, I was down, I was losing, but then I was able to afford one of those dice, got it, rolled it, and I think it was the max one or whatever, and was able to pay for it to put in the field and destroyed him. Then I lost the next two because I was just trying out new characters, ones that not even I really liked. But I think there will be definitely a lot of strategy to it, the way the different characters play off each other, defense, offense, and varying degrees, and then the action cards can come into play as well. But I really like the game so far. I really want to play some more of it because I don't feel like I do have enough of a grasp on the mechanics as a whole yet, because I never did play Quarriors. I know a lot of people just say, oh, it's like Quarriors. I'm like, I never played Quarriors. And then some people be like, it's like Magic. Well, I never played Magic either. This is, as far as I know of what I've played, the only blank building game I have actually played. I do own a few others that I haven't yet pulled out because I want to play them with certain people, like Thunderstone. I want to play that with Justin, though I will probably play that by myself solo just to get a hang of the mechanics or whatever. But I really like the game. I think other than the warping, the booster packs are a pretty good deal. And I think there's, I mean, the way it's been selling, I mean, it just sold out, so it's not just continuing to sell or anything. I think there's probably going to be a good long life for it. Of course, there will eventually be DC, and unless there's some crazy thing, I'm sure those will be compatible as well, and it'll be very fun to do Marvel versus DC games. I'm also interested in picking up another starter set because I'm not sure if anyone has already set up rules for it. I don't think there are any official rules from WizKids, but I think there could be very interesting four-player games with Marvel Dice Masters, so I'm interested in trying that out. So after that, saw a new face at Game Night. Someone who I guess has been coming into the comic store, picking up comics once a week. And it's an import from Australia. And I did some research because I wanted to make sure I get his name right. And also he gave me a link to his own little thing he does, HardcorePong.com, where he and his, I think one of his musical buddies, basically play Atari 2600 games while just doing shots and shots and shots and shots. Name's Carl. And apparently he's from a band called Angel Spit. So, and I think they're like an electronic band. They've been around since 2004, I guess, so this would be their 10-year anniversary. That's pretty cool. So if anyone who's listening happens to know who Angel Spit is, well, I played some games with Carl, or his like stage name is like Voon Van Rock or something. I don't know what it was. It was something. But first game we played was Cthulhu Dice, which I have never played. I've been wanting to play it for a while. It's another one of the dice games from Steve Jackson, who also did Zombie Dice. And I like Cthulhu Dice way more. Both are fun. They're different. Zombie Dice feels more like a game where you, while you are competing against everyone else, you're more so competing against yourself and just being, you know, how much are you willing to risk? While Cthulhu Dice is really, really quick. Everyone just rolls the big old, I think it might be a 12-sided dice. I'm not sure. I hate dice die. I always, I'll never get that right when talking quickly. But I think it's 12-sided. And basically just roll it. It's also a very nice die. I really liked it. I thought it was a nice quality die. You roll that, and basically there are different faces. So there's a tentacle, which allows you to, and you say that beforehand, who you're like a cursing. If it's a tentacle, you're steal one of their little gems. If it's an elder sign, they put one of theirs into Cthulhu's little collection in the middle. Or that might be where you take one from Cthulhu. Because then there's like, I think there was like multiple tentacles, which might be where they put theirs in there. I don't know, there are a whole bunch of different faces. There's also the Cthulhu face, where everyone has to give one to Cthulhu. Then there's an eye, which is basically a wild card, which just allows you to do whatever the hell you want. And the way it works is, the game ends when only one person has gems left. And that's pretty, it sort of went back and forth, and then all of a sudden it would just end all of a sudden in every single game, and it was actually pretty fun. It was very quick, which I liked, whereas Zombie Dice is still a quick game, but somebody could, you know, can be slow and taking their roll, taking their turn. Even if their turn only takes a minute, with Cthulhu Dice, it's basically like 5 seconds. You just roll and then do whatever the hell your die face tells you to do. And then move until the end. And I thought it was actually pretty fun. So I was surprised by that. because I just looked at it, I'm like, I don't, what the hell is this going to be? And then it just seemed like, oh, this is really, really simple. But I had fun with that. After that, played some Bang, and it was a decent game. Jerry was the sheriff, as he always is, but I don't think I've ever played a game where he was the sheriff. He is the most maniacal Bang player ever, because he just doesn't, and in a way, he sort of plays a lot of games like this, where he just doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care at all. He just will do whatever the hell he feels like. So he's the sheriff. He plays Dynamite. He did it twice in that game. Never ended up blowing up on him, but, or maybe, no, one did, I think, the second one, maybe. But, yeah, it was a decent game. The Outlaws ended up pulling through. I ended up killing the sheriff, and then all the Outlaws won. It was funny because I knew who one of the other Outlaws was. I was pretty sure the other one was Carl as well, but then I wasn't sure because he had never played the game before, and it was basically either Justin was the renegade or Carl was the worst renegade ever, because he just kept attacking the sheriff over and over and over again. And I wasn't sure if maybe he didn't remember what the rule was or didn't care, because he seemed to have that bit of an attitude too, where it's just like, whatever, who cares? But that was fun. I don't want to say I'm getting tired of Bang, but I did pick up the dice game. I haven't played it yet. I'm really excited to play that, because the thing I'm a bit tired of with Bang is that games can go on for a while. That one didn't go on too long, but I kind of want Bang games to just go a bit faster. And then after that, played some more Resistance and had probably the best Resistance game I've ever had, though the one from last week is a very close contender as well. It's weird. The first time I ever played Resistance, didn't like it. These last two times, I really enjoyed it. And one thing, and people should know this, if anyone listening plays the Resistance with me, I've only been a spy once. And I'm so annoyed when I'm not a spy. And it's just, I was being called the spy over and over again in this game. And I'm like, what? No, I'm not a spy. I was just kidding. I mean, the craziest thing about the one game we had was that I was never sure of anyone. I did not believe anyone. I was not willing to trust anyone. I only knew that I wasn't a spy, and I didn't believe anyone else. But we ended up pulling it out. I'm not sure if it was me who passed out the final ones for the mission that passed. But then we ended up winning the second game, the first three, which is something that I haven't seen happen fairly often. And I used some ways of figuring out who the spies were, and they actually worked. The second game, eyes closed that period of time, I flipped off Jerry, who was sitting in front of me, and then when we opened our eyes, I could tell from his reaction that he saw me flip him off. So I was like, okay, that means he's a spy. And then I used like deduction or whatever. Or I don't even think I ever had to really do that. But then, you know, we ended up passing that, all the Resistance. Then in the third final game we played, when we initially closed our eyes, or right when we like opened them or something, I heard Justin laugh next to me. And I was like, okay, he's a fucking spy. Because it was at a specific moment when he did it. And I'm like, okay, Justin is a spy. And he was a spy. It was him and Jerry. And we didn't win that one. But the Resistance is really, really good, depending on who you're playing with and how much they get into it. And I think, I don't know, I really like it. I feel like Justin is a spy 50% of the time. I'm never going to trust that guy ever. But I had a lot of fun this past game night, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get to play Small World Underground, though at the same time, if I did play that, then I would have missed out on those things, because the game going on, the Small World Underground game going on, probably because a few people never played it before, and even the people who had some familiarity were, they had only played Small World, just the regular one, so there were a lot of, like, they nobody knew all the different race cars, like what they did or anything, so I swear that game went on for probably like 2 hours. Priscilla kept, she keeps saying that it was like, oh, it's like an hour, maybe a little longer. I feel like that thing went on forever. It seemed like they were never playing anything else. I mean, they played that Red Dragon Inn, I believe that's what it's called, before that, which is a fun game, but I really want to play Small World. I want to play any of them, but Small World Underground has just fucking gorgeous art. Love the art in it. But yeah, that was game night. I don't think played anything after that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it. I do want to play some more Marvel Dice Masters. I'm going to go check out some more videos and stuff and look at the advanced rules and read up on it to make sure I get everything 100% correct, because I really like the game. I want to play more of it. So yeah, that is it for today's episode. Can't think of anything else worth talking about. Some Kickstarter things, potentially. Nothing that I can think of right now. I should have prepared that, but I was just thinking about game night, game night, game night. I did get an email from KickTrack, which is the site that tracks Kickstarter projects, so you can see like how much was funded, how like how much was pledged on a certain day. And give it, I mean, it just tracks a lot of stuff and has links from different stories and whatnot. And they sent me a link about basically them looking into podcasts and more community side things to try and brand, to like reach out to those kind of things. As I have talked about Kickstarter on past podcasts and whatnot. So I have to email them back. There's not much to say about that, but I really like KickTrack as a site. I think it's a very cool site that is great for both creators and backers. It creates a level of transparency, and it's just an interesting bit of information to be able to see, from both sides as a creator or a backer, or even a potential creator who wants to look at a project who they might say, oh, well, my project is kind of similar to this. Let me see how their project is tracking. Watch what they do and how that affects, the amount pledged for that day, etc. So I think it's a very cool site. I think it's cool that it exists and that it can exist. So yeah, that is it for today's episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter at Kush3, Instagram mkush, and of course go to pixelatedsausage.com for this here show, for the other show I do, Pixelated Radio, which you can also find by just going to pixelatedradio.com, and of course all the writing and news and whatnot is there. You can find a link, you can find a story. It's one of the most recent posts about the Marvel Dice Masters temporary solution if you can't find a starter set. And yeah, of course, also go to frontburner.net. That is frontburner without the e.net, frontburner.net. Register, check it out, and do all that lovely jazz while you're there. Check out the Sprite Stuff podcast hosted by Dean Stevenson. You can find that in iTunes by searching for the Sprite Stuff or Front Burner. And then check out the Signed In podcast at signedinpodcast.com. The Sports Car Unleashed podcast at scunleashed.com, and Kicking Out at 2, that is Kicking Out, the at symbol, and the number 2. You can find that in iTunes as well. And you can find all these podcasts in iTunes, where you should subscribe and then rate and review all the shows, because that does help out a lot. And also, this doesn't really need any plugging, especially for me, but I adore the Dice Tower, the podcast, the videos. I think Tom Vassell is awesome. I really, my favorites of the Dice Tower crew would be Tom Vassell, Z, and Sam Healy. I love watching their videos, their top tens, and other stuff. So yeah, I really enjoy watching all their videos together. I think those three have great chemistry together. Plus, their videos are just great. You can find a review for almost any game you'd be looking for or interested in checking out from the Dice Tower, whether it's Tom Vassell or someone else. And, yeah, definitely check that out. They're a great, great resource for gaming, board gaming, whatever your needs be. Yeah, there was something else I was going to say, but I don't remember, so I don't know what to do right now. There's the Dice Tower that I just talked about, and then nothing else. Oh, yeah, G-Mart Comics, that's where the game night is held every Thursday, 7 p.m. It's right across the street from the Logan Square Blue Line stop, Kedzie, right on Kedzie. So go there every day, not just game night. But if you go there on game night, you'll be able to see me. I've been there for I don't know how many straight game nights now, maybe like 15 or something. But I love the store, great little store, G-Mart. And you should come on Saturday, free comic book day, get some free comics. I'll be there in the morning, don't know how long I'll stay. I'll give away some art crap there, some doodles. And yeah, you also just check them out. There's also, depending on when you're listening to this and when I get it up, there's stand-up comedy there tonight at 8 p.m., which will give you no time to prepare. But it's a great little store, and y'all should definitely check it out. And you get, I think, like a 35% discount if you, for like your pull list and stuff, with pre-ordering, which is a great discount. So, yeah, that's fucking amazing. I'm sorry for swearing. I want to try and cut back. I want to be clean completely. Still slipping out every now and again. I want to have a clean show. But yeah, and also for board gaming needs, if you're local in Chicago, I highly recommend both the Dice Dojo, which is right by the Bryn Mawr Red Line stop. It's on Broadway. What is it? Broadway and whatever. But that's a great store. They have game nights on Wednesday and a huge, huge selection to choose from for game night. And they have a really good selection of games for purchasing. And the people that I've, every time I've been there, the people working there have been really nice. So that's been enjoyable every time. And then also Games Plus, I believe it's called, in Arlington Heights, Mount Prospect, which is, if you can get out there, it's, well, for one, it's right next to the train. Though I don't know if you'd want to take it that long of a trip just to go to a game store. But if you drive, they have parking there that is like an hour long parking for I don't think it would ever be packed, so you'd be able to find parking. It's a nice store, with a lot of space, a decent amount of board games, a small selection of used ones as well, which I don't think I've seen at any of the other stores. A lot of miniatures, so if you're in those kind of if you're into those type of games, they have a lot of those. But they also, more so than any of the other stores I've been to, have games that are either out of print or hard to find, or just, you know, if there's not many copies of them still around, they may very well have it. For example, they had a copy of Nothing Personal, which is the game created by Steve Avery and Tom Vassell. So definitely go there. Nice place too. Nice open spaces, fairly large, I think they have space available for gaming whenever that you feel like you can rent it out. I'm not sure if they have their own little game night either, but definitely check them out if you can, if you live out there or can get there. And then if you can't, if you want to shop online, I highly recommend coolstuffinc.com. They have fantastic prices, in most cases the best prices of any store online. Sometimes maybe Miniature Market will beat them, but I think Cool Stuff Inc. as a whole is a better store in many ways. Their reward system is better, which gives you a global discount as you level up. The one thing that does suck, but it's understandable, you don't get free shipping unless you pay $100 or more. So I usually, whenever I use them, I'm just sort of building up a save for later in my cart. And when I reach $100, then I would purchase the games that I want. But they have a great selection, great prices, great service. The free shipping is relatively fast. They pack it well. Still annoyed by the packing beans they use, just because I hate packing beans. They're just annoying as far as I'm concerned. But I really love Cool Stuff Inc., and I highly recommend checking them out. And you could pre-order Marvel Dice Masters, the starter set, on there for $10.49. So you can get it cheap. But of course, it's going to be, you know, they're taking pre-orders. I'm not sure if they'll ever stop taking them, but the way it'll work is however many copies of the next printing they get in stock, it'll just be going based on the order that orders were received. So the quicker you reserve it or pre-order it, the better chance you'll have of actually getting the copy if you want one. But yeah, that is it for today's episode. I hope y'all had a great week, and I hope y'all have a great weekend. I will talk to y'all again on Tuesday for more board gaming nonsense. Probably, I don't want to say a lot more, but a decent amount more Marvel Dice Masters, some other new fresh games. And, oh man, I played Gauntlet of Fools. I didn't even play. I forgot to talk about that. I'll save that for later, because this is, I feel like I need to end the show. I can't just restart it. But it's a decent game. Not super great. I'll get to it later. But also, of course, that is where the Game Club episode will be. The Game Club Part 2 of Heavenly Sword, which I don't know if I told everyone to play through Chapters 3 and 4. I think that was already self-explanatory. Either way, that's what you have to do. Just get through it, unless you're really liking the game, which I'm not. But yeah, that is it for today's episode. Once again, I am Mark Kuznets, your host. Adios, everybody. Goodbye. Enjoy Free Comic Book Day tomorrow.